Next on BYUSN, what's most sustainable from BYU football's 11-win season in 2024? Can the Cougar defense lead the Big 12 in takeaways again? One notable college football analyst suggests Power 4 leagues should move to 8 conference games. Do we like the idea?
CBS Sports' Shahan Jeyaraja breaks down why he still is a believer in Kalani Sitake and BYU in 2025. And running back LJ Martin details his expectations for this year and how his role will be different with the change at quarterback.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store. Tuesday, July 15th, we are a Tom Homo's jersey worth away from BYU football against Portland State, 46. How about 13 career picks at BYU? I am Jeremy Jordan. He is cycling analyst Jason Shepard.
I have been known to not be super observant on some things.
On this show, just generally, or other?
No, like my wife will, like my wife will bring up. Hey, did you notice this? I'm like, I just don't notice those types of things.
Been there, done that.
Like, did you see their eyebrows? I'm like, I don't notice eyebrows. I'm sorry.
Unless they're crazy.
So, but anyway,
those threaded.
But one thing I have noticed, there is a abnormally large number of unicycles on campus that I would have expected.
Oh, interesting.
I've seen, and I've noticed throughout the course of time, like 3 or 4. But to me, that is a large number of unicycles.
3 or 4 is a large number over the
time. Well, when you don't expect to ever see a unicycle.
To see 3 or 4, yeah.
Which then brings us to maybe the greatest BYU football player of all time, Steve Young, on a unicycle. We have the video of it right here. Look at this.
This came out yesterday.
Is there nothing this man cannot do?
Did you go double negative there? I'm now confused. There's nothing he can't not do ever again. What?
The man.
He's on a unicycle?
He's on a unicycle.
Okay, now Justin Sorensen famously
rode
a unicycle on his mission in Georgia.
Correct.
And he actually entered some interviews I did on a media webcast on BYU Football Media Days back in 2011 on a unicycle.
Yeah.
So he's not the first Cougar footballer
that is correct.
This, but thank you. But Steve Young on a unicycle?
It's not bad.
Hey, now that's content. Let's go. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Welcome back inside Lovell Edwards Stadium on the beautiful Brigham Young University campus. Parker Kingston hauls it in. Great catch from Kingston. And the catch is made by Chase Roberts. What a grab.
Much more of that coming up in 46 days. Let's go. With roster coaching and coaching continuity for Cougar football, I think the team, the fans, everybody and the like are hoping BYU can sustain certain elements from last year to this year of the incredible 11-2 season in 2024. So, Shep, what is most sustainable for Cougar football going into the season?
Funny enough, the first thing that came to my mind when this question was asked was Will Farron. This guy is an absolute stud. BYU is so lucky to have him. What he was able to do last year, and it's not just the actual numbers, but there is this confidence about him.
Nice save by Sam Vanderhaar there on that snap, by the way.
But I have no, I am in shock when Farron's kicks aren't good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and no one shows kicking B-roll like BYU Sports.
I just assume every kick that he takes, he's going to make.
Yeah.
And more times than not, he's going to.
Yeah.
And so for me, in terms of what is sustainable, I think Will Farron's kicking game. It is going to be such a weapon for BYU this year. So that's actually the first thing that came to mind for me.
I'll tell you what I want it to be, and then I'll tell you what I think it is. What I want it to be is takeaways. Because what BYU did last year was put themselves in a position to win all 13 games, which is incredible. They weren't blown out in a single one. I mean, how many seasons have we had where it was like, nope, they were all, like, the two losses were one score. What? There's no other losses. If BYU could somehow sustain the takeaways, they give TBD quarterback a plethora. The fact that they had 29, BYU turned it over 21 times on offense. 21 was a lot. That was in the 70s,
so
right?
+8.
+8 was pretty good, top 25. 22 interceptions was tied for first with Texas. I don't know if you knew this. Texas had a few more games than BYU, or at least one,
yes,
right, in, with the playoffs. So I want it to be takeaways because that just gives Hillstead, Borgé, or Bachmeier a chance, right? Shorter fields, in this case, scores sometimes. The special teams was great, too. BYU scored 5 return touchdowns on punts or kicks. You had a couple pick sixes in there. That's pretty good. That's a lot of touchdowns from non-offensive players. But what I think it will be is good defense. BYU was top 25 in the following, and all of this matters. Points per game, points per play, yards per play, pass yards per game, pass efficiency, fewest penalties per game, interceptions, and takeaways. Those things matter. When people say defense wins championships, to me, it puts you in position to allow the offense to win a title, unless your name's Kyle Van Noy and you single-handedly take over the 2012 Poinsettia Bowl. Jay Hill's defense was incredible. Now, let's think about the defense. Do they have enough coming back for us to feel like they could be a very good defense again? Absolutely. And that is in spite of losing the entire defensive line. It is almost wild that we feel that way. But
and your corners.
Right? Evan Johnson and Mori Bamba got enough playing time and showed well. PFF, highest graded corner, Evan Johnson. Mori Bamba got a lot of good looks. Isaiah Glasser's back. Jack Kelly's back. Siali Asare will be good in the middle there. The safeties, basically all return. Crew Wakely goes to Purdue. Basically everybody else is back. Tanner Wall, Tommy Prassis, Valetau Satuala. And then you have Raider DeMooney and Talon Alfrey. You have 5 safeties that played a ton. It's the D-line of Keanu Tanivasa, who should be one of the top 3, if not the best defensive player in BYU's defense. And then Justin Kirkland from Oklahoma State. Some other transfers. The ends, it'll be interesting to see who kind of gets their opportunity with Schoonover and Akana and so on and so forth. That defense and Jay Hill running it, extreme confidence there.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I have more confidence in than that is that Will Farron will be money,
okay.
Like you said.
Yeah, well, and you and I are on the same page because the second thing behind Will Farron for me was the overall play of the defense.
So
and
those top two.
Those are the top 2 things for me. And I think it sort of plays into what you were talking about to a certain degree with the turnover margin.
Yeah.
And because I think, look, the proof of concept is over. We've now had multiple seasons where this defense has worked at a high level. And part of that has been turnovers. Now, maybe the number is not going to be as high, speaking of the 29 turnovers.
29 was a lot.
But this defense is designed to create chaos and come up with turnovers. So to a certain degree, I think that's what this defense will always be able to do to varying degrees. Now, sometimes, you know, it may be up near 29 turnovers, and obviously we would certainly take that every year. But if you're around 15 to 20 turnovers, but you're able to, it's those are crucial turnovers in crucial parts of the game. I think that's what this defense is designed to do. And I'm with you. What Jay Hill has done, not just from a scheme standpoint, but bringing guys into the program, the recruiting side of it. And it's not just Jay
right.
Hill. It's
Jay
all of the defensive coaches, Gennaro Guilford, everybody. They have done such a great job of bringing in players who fit this perfectly.
Yeah.
And look, how long have we talked about, when you talk about the University of Utah, what's the one thing you always know you're gonna deal with when you face Utah?
Great defense.
Great defense. We're getting into that with BYU now because it's been multiple years where this has worked.
And let's be honest, there are 2 former Utah players.
Yes,
that came to,
correct.
Oh, by the way, Utah doing the BYU offensive card
yes.
this year.
Yes.
The whole offensive staff basically is BYU guys. They are picking and choosing the best.
Yep.
And ultimately, it all comes back down to BYU because that coach at that other school went to BYU, too.
It all starts at BYU.
Yeah, that's, we're a little biased on this program. I do want to add that a sustainable element, I think, is T.J. Wood's offensive line. I think who they brought in and who is ready, we talked about it yesterday, Isaiah Jada from Colorado was on the team last year. Andrew Gentry from Michigan was a massive get in the portal. And then you have real continuity with Bruce Mitchell, Waylon Lapu'ahu, Austin Leusa, Sonny Moccasini, those guys. I think that group will produce a good run game and hopefully a good pass protection as well. 4.6 yards per carry last year, 54th. That's close to where BYU wants to be. Remember in 23, BYU stunk. They were at 4, sub 4 in many games. They never produced a 400-yard game in total offense in 23. It just didn't work. I think there's an understanding of what's going to work, how many transfer portal pieces are required. 23, they've talked about it. There were too many, just didn't gel. Last year gelled in an amazing way. What's not sustainable is that BYU made some real clutch plays, and there was a certain amount of luck in going 4-2 in one-score games. Mm-hmm. The one-score game thing is massive. You can blow people out and create fewer one-score games. You really can. But you're going to play in some. And BYU went 4-2 in those, and that was fantastic. If they can be on the high side of 500 again, I like BYU's chances at sniffing 8, 9, perhaps 10 wins in the regular season. We'll see.
All right. I like it. All right. CBS Sports' Brad Crawford ranked all 16 projected starting quarterbacks in the Big 12 Conference for 2025.
Here we go again.
In case you're wondering, McKay Hillstead is who he is projecting to be the quarterback. Well, he had McKay at number 15 out of 16. Leading the way, no surprise, Sam Levitt of Arizona State. I think he's earned that.
Yeah.
Sawyer Robertson from Baylor at number 2. Rocco Becht, 3. Avery Johnson, 4. Josh Hoover, 5. Those are your top 5.
David Dampier getting some real love being at 6, by the way.
Yep. Is this fair? Speaking of maybe the overall rankings, but specifically McKay Hillstead at 15.
I think so, because he just hasn't proven himself in a Power 4 league, and it's been 2 years. And I actually hope that the following is used. I hope we see a picture like this one of McKay Hillstead with a phone showing a screenshot, just like Jake Retzlaff did a couple years ago, of this list. I hope he pulls it again with our nice, cheap Photoshop here.
Wait, that's Photoshopped?
Wait, what? I hope McKay Hillstead does this like Jake did. Use it as motivation. Yeah. And, of course, he's trying to win that battle, you know, we talked about yesterday, Dave and I, if BYU played today, we think it would be McKay. But yeah, use that as motivation. It's fair because he just hasn't done it quite yet.
Right.
And let's be honest, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this league. Like this is a passers league. This is a quarterback league. You go down to 12 with Caden Salter. Caden Salter 2 years ago at Liberty took him to the Fiesta Bowl. He was awesome. There's questions with Jackson, Marquial, West Virginia, Flores is new. Oklahoma State.
How about Noah Fafita at 11? Now, granted, he lost his biggest weapon.
2 years ago, Fafita would have been top 5.
Right.
His freshman year, he was amazing. Last year, struggled.
I think Jalen Daniels is going to have a bounce back year.
Kind of waiting for that still, right?
Yeah.
Like, haven't really.
I think
seen
that's
it.
Why he came back. I think he's going to end up moving up these rankings. I'm with you. This is fair. This is not a slight. There's just too many unknowns right now. And you're talking about a guy that didn't start any games last year. The last time he started was two seasons ago.
He didn't play a snap last year.
Yeah. So look, it's not a slight. There's just too many unknowns right now for them to have him higher.
I want that screenshot to happen again.
No,
let's,
it would be.
Let's do it again. Let's see.
Yeah, but I don't. Do you have a problem with any of, say, the top 5?
No. I could see Avery Johnson being just a touch above Rocco Becht. But honestly, what Rocco Becht did last year was incredible. That offense from Iowa State, amazing.
See, I would
they
have
lost
Avery 2,000
yard receivers,
Rocco Becht.
By the way. You would have Avery Johnson ahead of Rocco Becht.
Yes, I would.
Rocco Becht led his team to the he had better numbers than Avery, and he led his team to the Big 12 title game. I actually like that one. Hoover threw for 4K. Hoover is the TCU offense.
Right.
They don't care to run the ball.
Yes.
They just don't care.
Yeah.
Dampier is going to be interesting in Utah because he ran for 1,200 yards at New Mexico under Jason Beck. Obviously, Ja Beck goes to Utah. Utah, in a scary way, is just a decent offense away from actually being the team that people thought they were in this league. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does. Morton at Texas Tech, he's got all the weapons around him. They have loaded up with resources. Portal, does it mesh in a way that's meaningful? Morton could be really interesting. Like, if Tech is in the Big 12 title game, Morton will have been a top 3-4 quarterback.
Oh, without question.
In the league, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Yesterday, CBS Sports college football analyst Danny Cannell, former Florida State great, posted on X his solution to scheduling conflicts between 8 and 9 conference games. So, you know, 2 of the power leagues play 8, 2 play 9. Instead of constantly trying to get the SEC to go to 9-game schedule, why don't we just push for all Power 4 conferences to play 8-game conference schedule with more non-con matchups? Just make it a requirement to play a minimum 10 regular season games versus Power 4 opponents. Shep, would you rather BYU and the Big 12 play 8 conference games and more non-conference games, meaning one more because they go 3-4, against Big 10, SEC, or ACC teams, or stay at 9 conference games?
Look, am in favor of, if it's 8 or 9, whatever it is, have all 4 be the same.
Sync up on them.
Whatever it's going to be. Look, if you're going to be ranked and graded against all these other teams for, you know, the college football playoff, then everything needs to be as equal as possible. Now, certainly, the difficulty of teams within your conference is going to vary depending on what conference you're in.
Right.
But you can at least sync up on the number of conference games. So, to me, whatever it is, if it's the Big 12 going to 8, or if it's the teams that are playing, you know, 8 going to 9, whatever, just sync up, because if you're going to compare everybody together, then there needs to be an actual comparison.
It'd be nice, especially in football when there's so few games. You just play 12 regular season games. In college basketball, the leagues don't sync up in this way.
Right.
But it almost doesn't matter because it's close enough to be similar. And you're playing 31 in the future, probably more starting next year, I think, regular season games. I like that proposal a lot. I really do. I think you need to play 2 non-con Power 4 teams. Mm-hmm. Obviously, out of league would be nice.
Right.
We're getting over some of this. Like, we previously had Utah-Baylor, which is a non-conference game. Like, that was a weird deal.
Well, the other part is you could, between the 4, you could have, like, you know, you used to see, and I guess maybe you still do, I guess not anymore in baseball.
Conference challenges,
well,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
this year, it's going to be the Big 12 versus the Big 10 and vice versa. So you can have it where you're P4 games that are not conference games come from a specific league.
If there was a commissioner over this great sport, that could work. But because it's every team for itself in non-conferencing, under the advisement of the league in a way, then it's not really going to happen. But I like that idea.
I love the idea.
I do. So what Cannell proposed, I like it. Everybody plays 8. You get 4 non-con, because I want compelling non-conference matchups. The first week of college football, not week 1, listen to what's going to happen. Friday night, August 29th, Auburn at Baylor. That's Hugh Freeze trying to save his job. Dave Aranda, hot Baylor coming in. That's fun. Saturday, Texas at Ohio State. That's a great non-conference game. That'll be 1v2 in the preseason probably. Bama at Florida State, who used to be good at football. LSU at Clemson. That is a banger. That is a Death Valley matchup, right? And then Utah-UCLA is a good one that night. Then Sunday, Va-Tech at South Carolina, neutral site. Notre Dame at Miami. Woo! TCU at UNC. Bill Belichick, his debut on Monday. Those are awesome! I want more of that. I want another week of that. Everybody play 2P4s, G6. Sorry, new Pac-12 in 26, Utah State. And FCS. Yes, love it. Let's do it. The ego of the SEC will come out, and it won't happen, though.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to. They don't have to acquiesce or appease others. They haven't to this point. Why would they start?
The Big Ten, the SEC, they're not going to adjust. It's going to have to be the others that adjust. You know what I mean?
Is the Big Ten 8? Are they the other? I think they actually are the other that goes 8.
I believe so.
Yeah. And the SEC. So they're the ones going, well, we hold the cards. Right now the Big Ten's going, we win the natties right now.
Right.
We've won back-to-back.
I guess I wonder, for the Big 12, why wouldn't you do that? What's the argument for keeping it? And I know because it's just been...
Does it have to do with the TV contracts? You've already sold 9 and that's a certain number? Does your TV value go down if now suddenly you have...
Okay, but
if
you're playing, now granted,
but if it's compelling non-conference,
yeah, if it's compelling non-conference and you're taking on one of the other Power Fours,
yeah,
I don't see that you're gonna drop in viewership.
Right, not in viewership. I don't think Brett Yormark's in a very good mood to appease the Big Ten.
That's great. It's
given
a great
the 5+11 stuff. So we'll see where that goes. But our question of the day is this: would you like all 4 Power Four leagues to play 8 conference games and 2 Power Four non-conference games? At Kurt JBO7 on X. Yes, that would make it a lot easier to compare power conferences equally. Also, I would add just in that, because they're not equal. They're not. The SEC and Big Ten are a notch above. What the Big Ten, Big 12 brings to the table is parity in a unique way. Going back to it. Also, it would lead to more intriguing games before conference play begins. Yes, I want compelling non-conference matchups, because then we get to the selection situation and we go, yep, Look at those two they played, or look at that one you have to have a tough non-conference game to really validate your schedule if all things are kind of equal going into the very end there. Okay, at TX Colonel NX, I don't care if it's 8 or 9 conference games, but every Power 4 conference should have the same number. There is no authority over the 4. It's every league for itself. It is the 13 colonies with no federal government. Just Delaware yelling at South Carolina. You know, it's just, it is what it is. It is what it is. I don't think that's going to change. At first and 12 on X, 8 conference games, 1 against the SEC, 1 game against the Big Ten, 1 game against the ACC, 1 game against Pac-12, if they had more good G5 teams. Other G5 opponent, FCS opponent for the spring game. There's an interest. So our producer, Colton Potter, put this out this morning on Twitter. He said he wants an exhibition game in college football. Would you like that idea?
No.
One exhibition game, and maybe it's the FCS game?
No, because if it's not going to count, there's too many things that
can
go wrong.
Why don't we have an exhibition game in college? We do in college basketball. We do in professional sports. Why don't we in college football? We don't even have one in spring. Teams don't even have a spring game.
By the way,
sometimes.
I need to correct something. The SEC is the only one that plays 8.
They're the only one.
The other 3 play 9.
Okay.
So I need
everybody's
to correct myself.
Playing 9.
Yes.
Are the other 3 in a mood to go?
This may be the one.
Yeah, we should do it. The SEC wants now suddenly.
The Big Ten's like, well, I mean, we're kind of a big deal too. I mean, and we play
we're literally the Big Ten.
It's right in the name.
I'm not sure we will, like from a
no. I'm not on board with the
11.
Exhibition.
You're not okay.
I'm not on board with it. No.
I wonder if that might be interesting. It is fun to just jump into it, but it's also like, especially this year with 3 new QBs. Hey, one game for the new guy might be nice. That's what FCS essentially is for.
Okay. We're going to follow up the follow-up. So the ACC plays 8 and then Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame doesn't count.
And it's semantics.
That's a scheduling agreement.
It is. It is some – it's
– Well, no, it's literally it's, 8 ACC
yes,
games.
Yes, but you know what I mean. But you're still playing Notre Dame.
So, wait, so Notre Dame's playing 8 ACC teams, or how many is it? Just a handful? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're at the Notre Dame of the West, so we don't care. Continue to
win. Hey, here we go. It's not going to change, so
no.
How about that?
No. That's a fun combo, though, I guess. We have to entertain 5 hours a week. Continue to win on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, join us on Friday for a new BYU Sports Nation special, looking back on BYU football's success during the decade of the 90s.
Hey.
Remembering the 90s airs Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
I feel like I peaked in the 90s. You feel the same, or are you peaking now? Are you, personally?
I feel like I peaked June 18th, 2017.
Oh, very nice. That was a terrible BYU football season. Still to come, another national media member weighs in on the new look QB version of BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation. Motivation is high for this Cougar team.
You have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball.
Kingston touchdown!
The defense is awesome.
This is big boy football.
I'm just confident in our team.
I'm looking forward to what happens when we get to the first game.
Oh, we all are. 46 days away. Let's go. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd with you on your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play.
You mentioned 46.
Of BYU Sports Nation.
I feel like we missed out on the countdown.
Hit it! Da-na-na-na.
No.
We continue our interviews from Big 12 Football Media Day. Today we hear from Shahan Jayaraja of CBS Sports, who's a college football writer. He's been on the program before. A few months ago, he came on the show, picked BYU to win the conference with a new guy at quarterback, however. How is he feeling?
Shahan, it's good to see you in person, not through a camera, here at Big 12 Football Media Days. What's this experience like for you as you handle the conference that arguably has the most parity of any conference in America?
Well, it's a lot of fun, and I mean, look, I've been to a lot of media days, and the Big 12 does it right. You got lots of access, lots of people around, lots of great media outlets here, but you know, it's fascinating coming into this year because I'd say that there are kind of tiers right now in the conference, right? There's kind of that top tier of teams, you know, and I think that BYU is on that range, Kansas State, Arizona State, Baylor, Texas Tech, obviously a fascinating team. But after last year, you really can't say that anything's too definitive. I remember doing an interview here last year and telling an Arizona State outlet, like, yeah, I think maybe they can make a bowl game and they go on and win the dang league. So it's a lot of fun, and you get to learn so much at an event like this.
You speak of BYU, and a few weeks ago on BYU Sports Nation, of course, this is still with Jake Retzlaff in play, you said, I think BYU is a team that could legitimately win the conference. now assessing their quarterback situation with the expected transfer of Jake and the three largely unproven quarterbacks, how does that shift your expectations for the Cougars?
Well, I think that the floor goes down, right? That's the biggest thing that you have to say. You knew what you had with Jake Retzlaff there. You knew what he brought to the table. I don't think that certainly it changes everything because BYU is a defensive-led team. You look at what Jay Hill's done there at defensive coordinator, some of the guys they bring back, some of the guys they brought in. This is still going to be one of the best rosters and most talented teams. But the question for me, and this is really a big thing when I evaluate the conference at large, is where is that explosiveness offensively going to come from? You know, I think that last year, obviously, Jake was able to bring in. I think that 2 years ago, that was a struggle for BYU and some of the reasons that they struggled. I think that maybe Chase Roberts could bring some of it. I think that LJ Martin might be one of the most underrated players in the Big 12. If he can stay healthy, I think that makes things a lot easier. But you do have to say, right, like without certainty at that quarterback position and without guys who have played in 2 years on campus, it just makes it a lot harder to project.
Yeah, BYU, understandably, is one of the more intriguing scenarios here in the Big 12. If you were to do a preseason poll right now, and they've done away with it because it was so bad last year, Sean. It was so bad. We're not doing it anymore. Where would you place a team like BYU in your own personal Big 12 preseason poll?
I think that I'd have them right around 5. And again, right on the edge of being in that top group, I think that I'd say. I think that the other four teams that I mentioned, Baylor, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Kansas State, I'd probably comfortably have ahead of them. But BYU, TCU, Kansas, they're kind of right on that cusp, right in that next tier. Maybe you throw a Utah in there as well. And again, like you look at this conference, there are at least 9 or 10 teams that have the upside of making it to Arlington and having a chance to win a Big 12 championship. So I don't think they're in the top group. I think they're just below that.
Brett Yormark notably said the current college football playoff construct might not be the best scenario for us right now, or at least what they're pushing forward for with 5 AQs and 11 at large. He said, we believe that is the clear right format. It doesn't necessarily help us right now, but we believe it will in the future. How do you assess the Big 12's role in the CFP with that vision that he presented?
Well, I think that people are being a little short-sighted, I think, because there's two pieces of this. One, if you look back the last many years, the Big 12 would have had two teams a lot of years in the top 12. Last year was a little bit of a down year for the conference because you just had some transition. You obviously had so many new teams coming in. It was just a little bit of a tumultuous year. I don't think that that's definitive of what this conference is going to be. The other piece of it, too, is that long term, if you look at it, if you set yourself in a scenario where one conference has 4 guaranteed spots and you have 2, you are fundamentally treating yourself as a lesser conference, right? And you're fundamentally treating yourself as a not as power conference. Now, I think in this new world, right, there are a big two, there are kind of a middle two, and then there's kind of everybody else. But I don't think that you need to formalize it necessarily in too many ways. And again, if you look at the Big 12 last year, they would have been guaranteed almost to get 2 teams in if it was a 16-team college football playoff. And by the way, you know, obviously Arizona State, Iowa State, BYU were right there. Like, it wouldn't have been impossible to see them get 3, depending on some things work out. So I think it's a smart move by the Big 12 to kind of say, hey, we're not going to throw away everything that we think just because our 1 year didn't go our way. And again, I think that you just can't approach it from too much of a reactionary perspective, because otherwise you're changing things every single year.
Sean J. Raja is with us on BYU Sports Nation. A couple of things really quickly. I need to compliment you on your jacket here today. It's gotten a lot of attention, not a shocker. Where'd you pick up this beautiful coat?
Oh, off the sale rack, man. Off the sale rack at Saks Fifth Avenue at Grapevine Mills Mall right here in DFW. So if you want a good deal, make sure and check it out there.
And secondly, many of our listeners have enjoyed and watchers have enjoyed your time on BYU Sports Nation. You are one of the rising, you're the rising star of the Football Writers Association of America. Congratulations on getting that award.
Thank you. You know, it's been a really incredible couple of weeks for me, you know, just some of the stuff I've been able to do and hearing about that award. And, you know, actually, I got to say, Kalani Sitake came into the room upstairs and he congratulated me immediately, which I had no idea that anybody knew about this stuff, and said, I hope I had some small piece in being able to help you get it. And I mean, it's just been so cool, especially in this conference that I have so much background, to have people and have coaches that I have such relationships with. And again, I feel a little old to be winning a Rising Star Award, but I will certainly take it. So thank you so much.
Nonsense. Anybody that can pull off that jacket is nowhere close to old, Sean. Okay, speaking of rising, I know you have BYU in your preseason poll right around number five in that set, that top part of the second tier. But who is the team this year that you believe could shock people like Arizona State or BYU did last year?
Well, I think it's been interesting to me to see some of like these preseason odds, because I didn't expect Utah to be mentioned as much as they were. I saw them as more of a dark horse type team. So, you know, I'd probably have them 8 or 9 in my preseason poll. But that's a team that I think, you know, again, you look the last 2 years, they were picked number one in each of their respective conferences and fell on their face in a lot of ways. But this is an offense with Devin Dampier coming in and Jason Beck coming in that I think has a lot of upside and has a lot of explosion. And it won't be as bad as it's been in years past. One other team that I'll mention, though, that's more of like a crazy riser is Houston. You look at the way that they finished last year, the way that they played defense in the month of November, they were a special team. Now, they had to replace their defensive coordinator, but they brought in another great one in Austin Armstrong from Florida. And offensively, they've got a quarterback in Connor Wegman, who is not the five-star that he was billed potentially, but he is a good player. He's got a good supporting cast around him. They've got some receivers, and you trust Willie Fritz to figure out an offense. So I think that's a team that could go from maybe you'd consider them in the 12 to 14 range to maybe finishing in the top half.
Shahan, great stuff. Congratulations again on your award, and we'll talk to you again soon on BYU Sports Nation.
Thank you so much for having me.
That coat is hard to beat. I mean,
that's impressive.
Legit. I'm not even mad. I'm actually impressed. Some media members, by the way, on Twitter yesterday started listing different conferences and which coaches would win fights in that league. So Shahan posted his list, and look who's on top. Kalani Sitake is number one, followed by Matt Campbell, then Kay Witt. I actually do want to see Kalani and Kay Witt arm wrestle. I think that would be awesome.
It would be fantastic. Honestly, I believe Kalani and Kyle should be one and two. And
this list?
Yes, yes, on every list.
However, them together, wrestling style, unbeatable.
Well, I wish I could remember who put it out. Somebody who did this had Kalani at 14. And I'm like, do you not pay attention?
Yeah, I mean, Kalani's got best calves in the league. We know that for sure. Not even close.
Yeah. Look,
I haven't seen a lot of the other's calves.
Kalani cannot be any lower than 2 any list. If it's below 2 on any list.
Who's challenging the 2 Cougs there? Who?
Nobody.
Mike Gundy?
No.
The mullet? Come on.
He is a man, though.
It's true. Scott Frost? No.
Nobody.
Prime, we're talking about a fight here. We're not talking about a speed thing back in the day. Yeah. Kalani's in a good spot right here.
Which of these coaches do you think you could fight?
Joey McGuire of Texas. No, none of them.
I might be able to fight Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block.
Now? Okay. Or back in the day.
He'd win.
In other news.
All right. For more interviews from Big 12 Football Media Days, go to BYU Sports Nation.
Or fight
Nation's
content.
YouTube channel. Hey, we don't talk about Fight Club, all right? Yeah. Go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel where you can find all of our content on demand.
Coming up, who could Jason Shepherd fight at Big 12 Football Media Days next year? And where does Mekhi Hillstead rank among Big 12 quarterbacks? More NBA Summer League action today in Vegas. And 2 Cougs get picked in the MLB draft. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Nothing like 80s boy band references.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Jeremy. He is Jason. Let's get to today's headline.
All right, we mentioned it a couple of minutes ago. CBS Sports' Brad Crawford ranked all 16 projected starting quarterbacks in the Big 12 Conference for the upcoming season. Crawford ranked BYU's Mekhi Hillstead 15th. Out of the 16 projected starting quarterbacks. In other football news, BYU football picked up another 3-star commit last night from a notable in-state recruit. BYU currently has the top-ranked 2026 recruiting class in the Big 12. That, according to 24/7 Sports.
Fred Warner ranks as the best linebacker in the NFL by executives, coaches, and scouts, according to a poll done by ESPN. He's one of 3 active players to have at least 10 sacks, 10 picks, 10 forced fumbles. And, of course, he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yegor Dioman and the Nets play the Knicks in their third NBA Summer League game later today. Across 2 games, Yegor is averaging 10 points, 2 assists, and 4 rebounds per game while shooting 40% from three. You can check out the game tonight on ESPN2, tip-off 6 Eastern.
They're playing him off the ball, and he went 4 of 8 from 3 on Sunday. Yep. That's great. BYU Baseball had 2 players selected in the MLB draft yesterday. Signee Jaden Leray was selected by the Orioles in the 5th round. Chances are he'll bounce for the show, but one can hope. And right-handed pitcher Garrison Sumner was taken in the 20th round by the Boston Red Sox. He's the second Cougar drafted by the Sox in the last 2 seasons, joining pitcher Ben Hanson. Congrats to those guys. After the break, Spencer's convo with running back L.J. Martin. How is his role changing with a new quarterback? This is BYU Sports Nation.
About. Here's the second, and Martin makes the catch for the touchdown! LJ into the end zone, up the middle, touchdown! The Cougs open on top, LJ with the TD.
We are hoping and praying we'll see and hear a lot of that coming up again in 46 days, BYU and Portland State. Live in Studio B, Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd with you. LJ Martin is RB number one in a room that's loaded with continuity from last season. Martin's gone from the young new guy leading BYU to a win against Sam Houston in 2023 in the second half to one of the leaders and veterans on the team now that he's a junior. Here's Martin from Big 12 Football Media Days with Spencer Linton.
LJ, you've been in this media mix before. You know what it's like. So how do you adequately prepare yourself mentally for a day like today?
I don't think there's no way to prepare yourself for like 9 hours of just questions and stuff. So It's all right. You just try to sleep and just hope it goes by fast, I guess.
How has it been thus far? And maybe what's the strangest question you've been asked?
It's been all right. There hasn't really been no strange questions that are too crazy. So, yeah.
Okay, so nothing super weird yet.
The first interview I had, they asked about someone else instead of me. So that was like, that was by far the weirdest. And that was like the first interview. Like, we started at 8, like at 8:05, they asked me that. And that was the first question I asked. I was like, really? Like, no warm up, no, like, nothing about me. It's about the other guy, but yeah.
Fear not. We will talk about you in this interview. Beginning with just how you and the team are handling some unexpected shifts on offense. The quarterback change. How has your team bonded and come together as you work through an uncertain period?
We're just working together. We don't know what the outcome is yet, so we're just gonna let that speak for itself, and we're just gonna go to work like we always do. We have belief in the guys that are out there to get it done. So you know, we just believe our coaches that they have the ability to whoever they put out there. You saw last year, we had Eternity too at the same position. And we were able to do all right, so I feel like we'll be good again.
What is it like as you are now embarking on, with these 3 quarterbacks, another quarterback battle at BYU?
I feel like it's nothing really, you know. It's just something we've always done. So, I mean, all we do is compete. So it's always a quarterback battle. It's always an O-line battle, running back battle. So, you know, we got to compete for our spot, so it's nothing different.
You are the leader of this running backs group. You're now officially a veteran. So how do you feel like your role is evolving in that room?
I still technically am the youngest in the room, so it's kind of weird. But, you know, it's evolving. I would say they come to me a little bit more just for some things, or like whenever they need like clearance on the play, kind of instead of asking coach, they'll come to me. So it's pretty cool just being able to help them out and just kind of guide them.
It's a unique dynamic, the little brother with all of the answers. Are you ready for that role?
I would say I'm ready, but, you know, it's just a role you got to take on. I mean, so you just got to do it, and I'm just glad that I'm able to help those guys, you know, and I'm glad that they feel comfortable enough just to come to me and ask for my help.
How do you feel like you're more prepared for this year of college football than you were the previous 2 years?
This year I just had a full off season. You know, last year I got banged up and stuff. So just being able to have a full off season, I feel like I've really been able just to get faster, stronger, and just truly work on football.
How is your health overall and recovering from those several injuries that you've had to endure?
Yeah, I'm good now. It was just unfortunate what happened, and I'm good now.
This off season I mean, BYU's coming off a season where you go 11-2. So it's not like the expectations are now low like they were last year. So how has that dynamic shifted the mentality of the team, and what is motivating you this year?
I mean, we always just say it's all just noise, you know, no matter what. What we hear from the outside, it really doesn't matter, you know, because, I mean, you don't know until you step on that field what really is going to happen. So, you know, we just got to prepare just to the best of our ability, just so when we get out there, we're able to come away with wins.
Aaron Roderick and some of the staff, even some of the running backs, hinted at some different wrinkles in the offense with multiple back sets. I know you're not going to give away everything, but how are things changing for what the running back group is going to do on the field with multiple guys potentially at times?
Yeah, it's going to be real fun. Yeah, just having multiple of us out there, you know, just side by side. So it'll be cool. It's going to be real fun.
Again, we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. How do you feel like whoever it is will integrate into a situation where there are multiple backs out there?
I mean, they'll be fine. You know, I've seen all those guys put in the work over the offseason, so no matter who it is back there, I mean, we're going to be fine. And I believe in any one of those guys to go out there and get the job done, so it really doesn't change nothing for us.
Let's take it back to you. You mentioned bigger, stronger, faster. That's always the goal for every player in the offseason. But specifically, what have you been doing to try and get better in those areas to handle the physicality of the Big 12?
Yeah, just putting in a little bit of extra work every day. I feel like that's something I've been doing, and just so I can be able to be out there and just be ready for the season.
You're a big family guy. You and I were just talking a minute ago about spending some time with your family. What does that do to allow you to reset so that you can gear up for what is an absolute grind from August until January?
Yeah, it's just good to go back home, see your family, some old friends, just to, you know, just take time away from football, just be out there, just be a guy, just have fun, and then just so when I get back, I know it's all business, and just lock in for the next couple months.
What's the message from your offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick, about what he wants you to do during the remainder of the offseason before training camp begins?
Just continue to work hard and just do my best to be ready for the season so that way we can get out there rolling.
He has mentioned several times that the playbook will open up more. How do you feel that the team is embracing more? I mean, there's just more installs. There's more information. How's the team coming along with that?
I feel like they're doing a great job. You know, the O-line's on point, tight ends, receivers, they're all doing a great job, and running backs as well. So I feel like we're all just ready for it. We're just trying to be the best team as possible. So this is something we all want.
Okay, let's finish with just your assessment, because you're going to get to work with all three of these guys at the quarterback position as they battle it out. But I know there's not a lot out there about Bear Bachmeier. He's the new guy, but you know Trayson and McKay well. So let's compare and contrast them a little bit. What does Trayson Borgay do that BYU fans need to know about?
He has a lot of confidence. He plays confident, and he has a good ball.
Okay, and then McKay Hillstead.
Yeah, he throws the ball really nice. He can move a little bit, so he's a pretty good player as well.
So speed option in the mix with a guy like McKay then?
I would say it's in the mix with all of them. You know, they all got the ability. I mean, it's kind of hard to compare because, I mean, you see them. I mean, I've seen all three of them do it in practice. So, I mean, there's nothing I feel like they can't do. So,
hey, we always appreciate that time. And I'm glad we got to talk a little bit about you, LJ. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thank you. You have a good one.
LJ Martin, he's a guy that has led BYU in rushing the last 2 years. Shep, what are you expecting in year three as a junior?
Look, I expect if he's healthy and on the field, for him to be that lead back, that RB1, that in the last 2 years in the Big 12, we've seen all these teams that have that go-to guy be so productive. I expect him to be able to add his name to that list. He has the skill set. We know what he's capable of doing. His whole thing, just unfortunately, he's had to deal with some injuries that's taken him off the field. When he's played, he's been unbelievable. So that's if he's in the lineup, I'm expecting really big things from him.
Everything's year to year because of the portal and NIL and so on and so forth. But he has led BYU in rushing the last 2 years. Nobody's led BYU in rushing all 4 years.
Right.
Now, freshmen couldn't play until 1972. And only five players have led in three consecutive years. Harvey Unga, Curtis Brown, Fred Whittingham, Lake Hemuli, Jeff Blank. Jamal Williams did it in three of four seasons. but this could be pretty special. He improved from 4.8 to 5.2 last year, 4 rushing touchdowns to 7, 45 receiving yards to 98, 1 to 2 receiving touchdowns. He got better. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for 5 yards of carry. Give me 10 rushing touchdowns. And he's played in 10 games both season, missed 2 and 3 respectively. Like you said, let's keep him healthy. Let's get him on the field. I see him going over 1,000 yards this year. I think last year, if he plays in all 13 games, he's probably over 1,000 yards.
Oh, I think he is.
He's not a guy that's going to have breakaway speed, but what he does is move the chains. Great feet in the hole, good vision.
He's got good hands,
good blocker, too. Good hands. He does a lot of things really well. He's not like a home run hitter, but he is going to have a million doubles.
For that's one of the things that I hope we see more of is throws to the running backs in the backfield, well, out of the flat.
We just heard, they're going to have two backs in
the
backfield quite a bit.
Your ears perked up when you heard that. You're like, okay, I like that.
We saw that a couple times last year. So we're going to see personnel that's 20, 21, 22, two backs with a tight end or two tight ends or no tight ends. That's an interesting look. We had three in the backfield for a formation, I believe, against Kansas, if I recall. But, yeah, mixing it up. And there's a plethora of talent in that room, which is pretty exciting.
Well, and in this league, you have to have a go-to running back. You have to, regardless of how good your quarterback is. And there are a lot of really good quarterbacks in this league. But most of them still had a guy that they could hand the ball off to get things done on the ground. You just have to have one of those guys that can carry the load. And I think he can be that guy. As long as he's on the field staying healthy, I think he can do it.
He's the Samwise Gamgee. Share the load. He's going to move the chains. He's going to get in the end zone. He had a really nice Alamo Bowl. A lot of positive momentum for L.J. Martin. We appreciate his time with Spencer from last week of Big 12 Football Media Days.
All right. If you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com, or you can download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content whenever you want on demand.
Speaking of running backs, which all-timer was back on campus yesterday who once called Spencer and I his middle-aged vanilla men? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Question of the day is this. Would you like all 4 Power 4 leagues to play 8 conference games and 2 Power 4 non-conference games? At Mr_Flintstone94next. I think it is likely the best way to prove how good a conference is instead of basing decisions on matters of opinion, so yes. I think with the Big 12 being at 16 teams, playing 8 games may open the discussion to divisions within the conference, which is a different topic. I don't think they're going back to divisions because you want your 2 best teams in the title game.
Right.
It used to
be
that
somebody knocking somebody out.
The Big East legends and leaders or whatever that was. They would have Wisconsin or Iowa at 9-3 in there, and it was like Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State were good.
What could we name them? The Big 12 divisions. That could be a topic for another day.
The truck stops and the come on.
Stop it.
And the touristy.
Never mind.
Yeah. Strike it from the record. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, Damian Agarbero on Instagram. If you can't beat, convince them, SEC, join them. Competitive balance. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, if anything. It is an interesting thought by Danny Cannell. I wouldn't mind it just to, so we could compare a little easier when we get to Selection Sunday.
Just make it level across. And I know that it's not going to be level in terms of scheduling difficulties within conferences.
But it'd be nice if just that piece.
Yes, if that piece was equal across the board in all P4 conferences. Look, and it shouldn't be that big of a deal to change. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
I think a lot of people are stuck in their ways on a lot of things.
Well, you're also dealing with a conference that does not want to acquiesce to anyone.
Why would they?
Yeah.
They kind of run the show. They haven't won the Natty the last couple of years, but generally speaking, with draft picks and national championships, they kind of run this thing. Today's Rising Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
He is one of our favorites, not just our favorites, one of BYU fans' favorites, and he's back on campus yesterday. Listen to Jamal.
What's up, Cougar Nation? This is J Bug, J Man, China Man, J Swag Daddy. I'm back here at BYU, working out, having fun. I'm kind of mad because they got all this good stuff now. They got the vending machine, Look at that thing. I wish we had that when I was here, but I'm glad they got it now. They're working hard, so proud to be back. Love you, BYU. Be good. Go Cougs.
Absolutely.
One of the best representatives of BYU that there will ever be.
He's awesome. We love him. Our thanks to today's guests, Shahan Jayaraja and LJ Martin. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I am Jerem. Shout out to Ben Bywater. Go Cougs. 46 days away.
46 days.
Okay.